You're listening to Loving BDSM Podcast, episode 50. Hey everybody, Kayla Lords here with the amazing, the wonderful, the kinky John Brownstone. Today, we're talking about something that you may hear from time to time when you're out in your local community and wonder what the hell it means. The idea that a submissive is a reflection of their dominant. Welcome to the Loving BDSM Podcast. If this is your first time listening, glad to have you. If you're back for another week, welcome back. Loving BDSM is produced every Friday for your kinky pleasure and education, and show notes are found at kaylalords.com. Come back often and feel free to add the podcast to your favorite RSS feed or iTunes. If you love what you hear, we'd love a good review on iTunes to help other kinksters find us. You can follow me on Twitter, at kaylalords, or stalk John Brownstone at southernsirsplace.com. All links are in the show notes. So next week is the one-year anniversary of the Loving BDSM Podcast, y'all. OMG, can you believe it? I would like to think we've come very far in that year.
Yes.
And yes, for anyone actually counting, we know next week is week 51, but a couple of weeks got missed over the last year, and I'm going by the calendar. And the first show was produced and uploaded around August 27th. So yeah, we're nearly here for the one-year anniversary, y'all. Oh my gosh. So as we've been promising and not actually telling you about for several weeks, we really are doing a giveaway. I won't tell you we mapped it out 5 minutes before the show started, whatever. A little inside baseball. And to show that I'm the biggest procrastinator ever. But we do know what the prizes will be now.
Yes.
And I'd like to think they're good.
Yeah.
Okay. Good. Okay. You're backing me up here. You stand behind these prizes.
Can I win?
No, you cannot win. Okay, so imagine a pretend virtual and inaudible drum roll, and there's Daddy doing a sad little drum roll on the desk. Okay, so the first thing, we're going to be giving away a gift certificate to Twisted Screws. We love them. I have a necklace that actually locks. It's not a collar in the...
day collar.
I guess it's a day collar. It's a pretty necklace, and my family thinks it's a locket, and it's engraved on the back, and Daddy has the key, and it's awesome. So we didn't want to send you something from Twisted Screws because you can customize everything. So whatever your titles are for you and your partner, you can get those. And I've seen on Tumblr, they do daddy and baby girl socks. I totally need those, Daddy. I'm just saying. They do rings. They do collars. They do everything. So we're going to email the winner a gift certificate so you can go pick out what you want, okay? We're also going to be giving away a gift certificate to Caniac.com.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, don't sound so enthusiastic. This is the site where John Brownstone gets his very sadistic canes and rubber paddles.
Yes.
Owie, 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 owie.
Oh, big owie.
But then there's subspace, so I can't really complain about the ouch, but still.
Right,
and again, canes and paddles and in that kind of thing, we wanted you to be able to pick out your own, okay? Because you might already have a little cane and you need a big one, and maybe you've got 10 canes. You're like, but I don't have a rubber paddle. Well, if you win, you can decide. We are also going to put together an actual package to mail the winner, okay? Mm-hmm. You're going to get handmade shibari rope in purple. Of course, because it's the kind I have, and it's my favorite color, and this is my damn show, okay?
Just ask her, is there any other color besides purple?
There are shades of purple.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, it's from an online store called My Nawashi. We love them. The blindfold is a soft cotton, but it's also elegant, and it goes with your rope, and it's
a Japanese blindfold.
Thank you. I love it. Okay. I'm going to throw in a copy of Kinky Love Notes. If you already have one, feel free to sell it at your next garage sale for 50 cents. I'm giving you permission right now. But I am going to add that in. And then, best of all, in my little humble, not so humble opinion, John Brownstone is going to make a wooden paddle that will be included in the box. And it is based on the one that we have that he has already made that makes me screech and scream the loudest.
The ass buster.
Yeah, the ass buster. We don't really have to name them, you know.
Well, I'm just
saying. Anyway, it's long, narrow, and very mean. And for most people, it's going to cover both your ass cheeks. And that is why I scream. So I believe that's a pretty good giveaway for the 1 year anniversary. No, I don't know what the hell we'll do at 2 years to somehow top that, but we'll figure that out later. And it's all based on stuff we like and we've used and we've shopped from. And so in our minds, It's good shit.
Yeah.
So next week, I'll have a raffle copter in the show notes page. So yes, you may actually have to go online at some point to go and enter. I think we'll give you about a week to enter. So, you know, the show comes out on Friday and you'll have probably till the following Friday, I think, Thursday night, something like that. To enter. I'll know better once we record the show, y'all. Don't worry. I'll tell you next week. When you enter, I need a valid email address, y'all, because that's how I'm going to contact you to say, hey, guess what? You won. And if you don't get back to me in a couple days, I'm going to go pick somebody else, okay? And if you win, then I'll need a shipping address so I can send you your stuff, okay? So
And all your information will be kept confidential.
Of course. I'll keep everything private. We are kingsters. We understand privacy. The gift certificates will be emailed to you. The other stuff will be physically
shipped.
So there's that. That's the plan. We figured it out. And I say we did it in the 5 minutes before the show, but we knew what stores. We knew where we wanted to send stuff from. I mean, of course. And hello, I'm an author. Like, you weren't going to get my book. Right? Whatever. And I'm not completely, you know, oblivious to that kind of stuff. Anyway, I'm done with the commercial, though. I mean, that's exciting. Everybody should be like, yay, can't wait till next week. Week 51. Woo! However, can we talk about the show now? Is that okay?
I thought that was the show.
That is not the show.
No,
that is not the show.
Okay,
so we're going to talk about the show.
All right.
But you're going to make me talk about it, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
Well, it's because he says to me, so what's the show about this week? And I said, well, I got a few topics in mind. And then there was nothing. There was crickets. And I went, did you hear me? Tell me that first one again. See, we have a signal now. I don't like to think in terms of stereotypes that men never listen and women never stop talking. However, in this house, at least part of that's true. I never stop talking. But sometimes he stops listening. So we have a code now.
Yes.
And if I'm unsure if he's actually listening, I'll say, is the green light on? Meaning like the light over your head. Are you with me?
Light bulb.
Stop. You've been watching too many kids movies. And not because I'm a baby girl. Light bulb. That's from Despicable Me, if none of you know. Okay. So if I say, is the green light on, that means, are you available to actually listen to what I'm saying? Because how many times have I started talking and told him something deeply profound, and then he looks up from his phone and goes, what? Were you talking to me? So he's giving me this look like, did you really tell them all that? Of course I told you all that.
And you know what? It works. It helps in our relationship. Because, there are times I'm doing stuff on my phone. There's times I am
reading a book and I'm trying to talk to you.
Reading a book. Or I'm surfing online looking for parts and different things for the things that I make.
Right. And so he's deeply engrossed in that and does not even know that I exist.
I may look like I'm there, but
he's not there.
I'm not.
Anyway, so
that way she does or is it red, green, or yellow light?
Which is hilarious because that's our safe word stuff too. Anyway, we're simple people. So today's topic is the first time I ever heard the concept about a submissive being a reflection of their dominant. I want to say it was when I was starting to learn about going out into the local lifestyle. I had not gone out into it yet, but I was reading blogs and listening to people, and that was a common refrain that people kept saying. And now the first time I ever heard it, I kind of went, what? Wait a moment. I'm not sure how I feel about that concept. And I've now matured a little bit in my submission, and I wholeheartedly support it. It is most of the time, I would say, Daddy, correct me if I'm wrong, something you will hear in the local lifestyle more than anywhere else.
Yes, absolutely.
I think it still holds true in online spaces where you are both there and known as a couple. Would you say it's accurate to say that nobody even has to know who the dominant is? If they know a submissive is attached and has a dominant, however they behave is still a reflection on the type of dominant they must have. Right or wrong, that's how people might perceive it.
Absolutely. I think that goes without saying. Whether it's online, whether it's in person, and that doesn't go with everything because, there are some true form brats out there.
Absolutely.
Okay.
But some people don't like that.
Some people don't like it, but there are people who do.
True.
Flavor for everybody.
And absolutely. And I'm totally behind whatever your personal flavor is. You do you. That's like my philosophy. But the thing we can't control, and we shouldn't worry about too much, But the thing you can't control is somebody else's perception of you. So,
true.
It doesn't, you don't have to take this as the gospel truth that you somehow need to do something different. But if you part of your dynamic is there's a bratty component, just realize that when you are out in public, and when I say public, I mean in kinky public, like you're at a munch or a meetup or the club, mm-hmm. and you are your bratty self, most people looking at that are not going to know that that's necessarily your dynamic.
Here's the thing too. If you go to a high protocol party, all right, if you go to a high protocol function and your submissive is acting out as a brat.
Yeah, that you don't look good.
that's not going to go over very well.
Now, and the thing is, the point of this show mm-hmm. is that, yeah, somebody might look at the submissive and go, oh, a brat or oh, a this and not like it. But what they're actually going to think, and again, correct me if I'm wrong here, is they're going to go, man, that dominant has no control over that submissive. That yeah. dominant hasn't taught that submissive anything. That dominant hasn't right. disciplined. Whatever they may think. Now, let me just, I want to like mm-hmm. reiterate. By and large, as we go through life, we should not worry too much about what people think of us, okay? It True. Shouldn't be something that, you know, controls our every move and how we live.
Oh, absolutely
not. However, in the lifestyle, if it is important to you to be a member of your community and to be a respected member of yes. your community, you want to be aware that this way of thinking exists. And like I said, when I first heard it, if I had hackles, they would have been up. I didn't really like it. But now that I understand the interaction within the lifestyle, in the local community, one-on-one with people, mm-hmm. they are always looking at John Brownstone before they look at me. They're looking at me for my behavior. But when I do something crazy, which thankfully I haven't done, but if I were, they're going to look at him first. Because in nearly, not all, but mm-hmm. nearly every interaction you have with other kinksters in your local community who have, especially the people who've done the majority of their socializing in the actual physical community, they're going to talk to your dominant first. They're going to introduce themselves to your dominant and wait to be introduced to you.
Correct.
If they have a request of you, they're going to go to your dominant first.
Yes.
And that's not the case in every single community, in every single place, but that is more common.
That's more the general
right.
norm.
And if
yes.
you go into it prepared for that, you won't be surprised when it happens. You'll be mm-hmm. more surprised if it doesn't happen. So I kind of want to talk about, and it's, I don't think we'll talk for a whole hour about this, y'all. It's not a humongo no. topic, but it is something that was on my mind. And I thought we should actually bring out, especially I'm getting messages from people mostly on FetLife. I'm Kayla Lords on FetLife, if you care, who say, oh my gosh, I finally went to a munch. I finally went to the club. I finally, you, mm-hmm. and what I, my favorite words, you were so right. Thank you. I know. Anyway, at least about that thing, I was right. Stop. He just sighed at me. That's all. At least about that one thing, I was right. Oh, no, don't pinch a nipple. Oh, he pinched a nipple. What was I talking about? You made me whine and lose my train of thought in one breath. Anyway, so I'd like to talk about it from my perspective, and I'd like to talk you to talk about it from your perspective. You're cool with that?
Yeah.
Because we're doing this on the fly, y'all. We are amateurs here. It's amateur hour at Loving BDSM, but we love it.
Totally unscripted.
Totally unscripted, which means there's no transcript, and that sucks. Anyway, so as a submissive, I am going to be who I am in the way that makes my daddy happy whenever we're out in public. That's vanilla public or kink public, okay? Right. Vanilla public, we all know, you already have to change some of your mannerisms and behaviors and maybe not use titles. You have to adapt to that world. The kink community mm-hmm. is a lot more open. And in my opinion, you need to be mindful when you're in a vanilla location. If you're at the munch and you're off, your group is off to the side, but you still have vanilla people around you, or you don't know one way or the other if your server is vanilla or not, to a certain degree, you still have to behave as if you're in the vanilla world, okay? Because nobody wants their kink thrown into the world and to have somebody go, well, who is that group and what are they doing? Nobody wants that.
Well, there again, too, munches are very
relaxed.
Relaxed and social. There's, as far as, there is protocol.
There is protocol. And people,
as far as behavior, but you're not going to see people dressed in leather and wearing
collars. No, you're assimilating into a vanilla world when you go to a munch. But
right.
And I know from personal experience, the moment you know you're around other kinky people, and then once they become your friends and you become comfortable with the group, you relax a lot. Yes. I talk about things at the munch that I would never talk about over dinner with, you know, my vanilla friends.
Really?
I mean, there's just, it is different. But that doesn't mean that you can go all wild and crazy as a submissive. Attached or unattached, by the way. The unattached submissives, all you've done is made most dominants go, ooh, no, not that one. I mean, if you're attached, they'll never say a word to you as the submissive. That's not their place. Even in that realm, most of them won't say anything. Even at a munch, they're going to look to the dominant. And they're going to go, yes. What the hell, dude? Or dudette. Oh, I can't believe I just said the word dudette. But you know what I mean. Male, female, ooh. Doesn't really matter. I know, that was awful. Anyway, just trying to be inclusive here. Anyway, the way I look at it is the way I look at it in any interaction, in whether I'm with my entire vanilla family or I'm in the middle of the dungeon or anything in between. I'm going to treat him with respect at all times, even when I'm not comfortable using the term daddy, even when I can't do any of, you know, our personal protocol or my tasks, right. Even when I can't do anything outwardly that dives into our kink in any way, he will always be treated with respect. Now, I have to say that, as y'all know, we have a very teasing relationship. You know, we joke and we laugh, and that is who we are. And we're like that out in public. He has never once, even in a joking fashion, ever disrespected me in public. Quite frankly, there's ever a time he's not shown me respect, but I probably get more respect when we're out in public, vanilla or kinky. It's just our way of honoring one another. Right. I honor him as my dominant and show him the respect that he's due because that's how our relationship works. I'll let him explain why he shows me the respect he does, but that kind of respect transcends your titles and your protocols and whatever. And my way of thinking about it is, if you always show your dominant partner as a submissive respect, no matter what's going on, even if you're like so pissed off at him, you just want to scream. I've had those moments. I've been out in public and been very mad at him. I would never not show him respect, no matter how angry I was, for a couple reasons. One, I'm not going to do that to our relationship, and that's toxic to a relationship to do. Two, he is the dominant, and guess what? They don't forget nothing. I will pay for that later. And I will pay worse because I put him in a position where he couldn't do anything about it at the time. So, little bit of self-preservation there, y'all. So if you're ever thinking, well, oh my gosh, what if I make a mistake? I don't want my mistake to reflect badly on my dominant. Here's the deal. Most people are very forgiving of mistakes. If you find yourself in a group of kinksters that can't forgive an honest mistake, get away from those kinksters. Well,
everybody makes mistakes. Nobody is exempt from making a mistake.
But you know, submissives, we get a little uptight about that stuff. We want to be perfectly perfect all the perfect time. So what I'm saying is, don't worry about that so much. If you show your dominant respect when you are in those groups and gatherings and in those moments where it is, especially when it's known that you're kinky,
right,
even if you can't express it outwardly because it's the munch or it's some weird random thing, when you show your dominant respect and you show you have some self-respect and you respect the group and you just show a lot of respect in general, be very relatively polite. You don't have to be uptight about it, but just polite and kind and respectful, you, in my opinion, you will always be a good reflection of your dominant.
Absolutely. And, you know, at a function like that, interacting with other dominants when they're around, you know, you, as a submissive, you are under no obligation to call someone else sir.
No.
Or
in doubt, ask what you should call them if they don't tell you.
Exactly. Ask if you know, what they want to be called. Now, you know, there are a number of people who call me sir, not out of any obligation, but out of a respect that's been built over time.
Right. And I don't have a problem with sir as his submissive. And some submissives get very, very touchy about this. You know, titles are personal. Well, I don't use sir with him. Now, we joke sometimes, especially if I can't say daddy in front of anybody. But, you know, you can say yes, sir, and nobody really bats an eye sometimes. I might do that. My problem, and it has happened on Tumblr, and man, if I was the type to claw some eyes out, whew, is when somebody called, because they know he's a daddy dom, calls him daddy. Y'all, I love every one of y'all who is listening. I think y'all, every one of you are wonderful human beings and you are perfect in every way. Some bitch calls my daddy, daddy. I might claw some eyes out. I don't care how much I love you. Okay. She said respectfully.
All right.
Put
the hackles on.
All right. But it goes back to what I say in nearly every show. We're people interacting with other people. You know, if you call somebody sir because you think, okay, maybe that's what I'm supposed to do. If they don't want to be called that, they will correct you. If they correct you, do what they tell you to do. If you were unsure, it's okay to ask.
When in doubt, ask.
When in doubt, ask. It's always safest. But I get it. Sometimes it just, you feel that Dom persona when he turns it on, and he doesn't even mean to sometimes. You know, it's usually directed at me, but he's that nurturing, caring daddy Dom. And so he will be talking to a submissive who relates to that and sees it and feels it, even though it's not necessarily for them, quote unquote, they will respond to it and it might slip out and you might call somebody, sir. Don't call him daddy. Then you might call somebody, sir. You might call, you know, because you're trying to be respectful and they instilled that feeling of you. You felt their dominance just a little bit. It happens. Look, let me go back. You can make a mistake. It is okay. A well-intentioned mistake should not get you drummed out of the, you know, circle. No. Okay. You don't have to go sleep in the cold and not be near the fire because you made a mistake.
Right.
So if it happens, it happens. If somebody doesn't want you to do something, they should have the backbone or the balls or the whatever to just go, no, please don't call me that. And then if they ask you to do something a certain way, respect that. It always goes back to respect. Okay. When in doubt, ask. Always own up to your mistakes. Say, "Ooh, I am so sorry." And then do what they're asking you to do. Call them by the name they want to be called. If they tell you, "Please don't, I'm not high protocol. Don't treat me that way." Then don't treat them that way. I think people will understand if you yourself and your dynamic are so high protocol, it's just a part of who you are. They're going to respect that about you. They'll try and tell you, it's okay. You can sit, or it's okay. You know, we can have a conversation, or it's okay. And you've been trained in such a way. I get that. But when you honestly try to do what somebody asks of you and you honestly show respect, you will always reflect well on your dominant. Yes. Always, 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 always. Now, you can talk about this better than I can, but I will sort of touch on why that's important from what I know. The way it's always been explained to me is that if I as a submissive am not reflecting well on my dominant, it shows that he has very little control, that he's not truly the dominant, and that we have not mastered the big D in BDSM of discipline. Is that a fair assessment?
That's an absolutely fair assessment. And that goes back also to our earlier podcast on training.
Oh yes, I'll link to that in the show notes, y'all. Okay, in case you missed it.
So you know how you train your submissive is how you know how well you train them is how they're going to act in public or at events.
And part of training can be, okay, this is how you behave when you're here, and this is how we behave when we're out.
Now you know we do have as she mentioned earlier a very light relationship. We joke, we laugh. You know, Kayla has a wonderful baby girl side.
Okay. Well, when it's wonderful.
Well, there are times, we take care of it then, right?
Yes, I know. That's why I don't like that paddle.
Yes.
Yes, anyway.
Anyway, you know, but when you're at a munch or, you know, some of the play parties, not the time to bring out the baby girl side.
There could be moments for it.
Well, there are moments for it, but not full-on
baby girl
like
from the moment you walk in the door to the moment you walk out. That's very exhausting for people.
No. you then, you know, with you have now gotten to the point when we go to a munch, when we go to some of these functions. I mean, yes, you know, if there are other baby girls
there.
It's
a baby
girl
night, that's different.
Oh,
yeah, totally different.
Absolutely. But when we are there like that, you bring out more of your submissive side.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Okay.
And it is brought out in me by the vibe of the group as well. Right, and right. That's the other thing. Remember, every local community event is going, it's a different mix of people. So you may be in an area that's high baby girl or little or whatever.
Right.
And you might go, okay, this is my place. And you sort of know when it's okay. But if you've got either a mix of everybody or you're the lone little in the group, I'm not saying you can't be little. I would not go that far. I'm right. saying you may have to just realize that not everybody... Littles are high maintenance, y'all. And any little who is honest with themselves is going to go, yes, 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 we are. Okay? And your caregiver, your dominant, your partner has signed up for that and is like, yeah, bring it on. Give me that high maintenance. It's what I love. The rest of the world has not. And pushing that much of yourself on an entire group rarely works out well.
Correct.
That does not mean you cannot be little. I have gone to a munch with my pigtails in, y'all. Don't even be mistaken. Absolutely. I have gone out in little ways.
And there again, too, as much as you respect their ways, they respect yours.
Right. Okay. But nobody wants something that in their mind, whether that's what you intend or not, that's not what I'm saying, but in their mind is shoved down their throat. And right. so, and we use the littles as the example because unfortunately that tends to be the most common, but it could be anyway, it could be a furry, it could be a slave that's so micromanaged they cannot move a muscle with, you know, there's the extremes of what we do.
Right.
You have to be able to function in mixed company. Now, sometimes you'll find yourself at a play party where it's okay. The rules, you know, the rules of that particular play party are everybody be who you are. Great, respect those rules. And then you will find the vibe of the group you're with, the place you play, the way that group behaves, that's not that everybody just be a little subdued. Be a grown-up person and find your more subtle ways to let yourself shine through. You already have to do it in vanilla life, y'all. I mean this isn't hard.
There again too, you know, when you're at a munch, you're in a lot of them are held in vanilla settings. Luckily, our group that we attend, we have a back room with doors that shut. So,
and the same server who's been doing it for how long?
Oh,
she's already figured out we're freaks.
She's very king friendly.
Yeah, it's weird when we go in outside of the munch and she's like, hey, and you almost can see her go, oh, I know them from that freaky group, but they're here just to eat breakfast. Right. Hey, how do I respond? Hey, you know.
So, you know, when we're there for the munch, you know, there are doors that shut and we're cut off from the vanilla patronage.
But even then, we still have to keep it kind of toned down because
if we, you know. Well, think about it. A room full of 20 or 30
kinky people. I can get a little wild.
You know, the conversation can...
the conversation does. And there have been times we have forgotten ourselves and the doors were wide open and our server would rush in and go, I need you to close these doors, please.
Yes.
But even in that venue, we have to be mindful because some of the other people who work there who come in and out of that room for different reasons, we don't know if we assume they're vanilla. Yeah. And that I'm telling you, in life in general, as a kinky person, unless you know one way or another, assume the person's vanilla. Yeah. Just
see, here's the thing. Here's my take on some of this. If you are in a vanilla setting, having a munch, okay, everybody talks about consent and kink. Mm-hmm. Consent being the foremost thing between any partner, okay, involving themselves in DS, SM, any of that, okay? You have to have consent between the two in order to have that. So it's not any different if you are out in public, all right? If you're in a public place, the vanilla patrons did not consent
to see that part of your kinky self.
Part exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you know, I look at it as breaking consent. When you're out in public like that, yes, there are people who do like public acts, and you know what? That's great, but you know what? Even they do it with some discretion.
Absolutely. The public act is for the people involved, not
right.
Very rarely outside of fantasy is it to shock people who might be watching. I mean, that happens. Right. I'm not going to say that it doesn't happen, but I'm saying that's not something we're going to be cool with. If I come across it myself, being as kinky as we are, I might respect the kink and still be pissed off that it happened.
because I didn't consent to watch somebody's naked ass in the middle of the park or wherever it might be.
Yeah.
And the thing, and here, and it comes back to our original discussion when, and it's typically a submissive, and that's what where we're directing our conversation to this week. When you behave in overtly kinky ways, and we say little because you want to know why, not to pick on littles. I know I can hear a little out there right now going, they're picking on us. No. It's because what littles do, we have stuff, okay? We have, and I, not me personally, but there are coloring books, and there are pacifiers, and there are blankies, and there are stuffies, and there are, you know, bottles, and there's stuff that goes along with your feelings of being little. Not every little has it. I'm a baby girl with little tendencies is how I look at it. So your stuff is very visible. So littles get picked on because when you are in little mode, everybody knows you're in little mode because we can see all the stuff you brought. Okay. So my thing, and I hear from submissives who say, but I can't help it. This is who I am. Here's what I come back with. Do you go to the staff meeting on Monday morning with your stuffy? Do you sit in the meeting with your boss and talk baby talk? No, you know that sometimes you have to have a big moment. You have to, in the vanilla world, you have to function as a big, okay?
Right.
In the kinky world, even though when we are together, even at a munch, it does feel much more freeing. You're like, oh, I'm among my people. I can be who I am. There's a time and a place for everything. And bringing it home to the topic of the week, if you are in an attached relationship, people will have their opinion of you as a little. And I know myself, many kinksters who just don't get DDLG. They don't understand littles. They don't understand daddies. They don't understand mommies. It's distasteful to them. And I have calmly explained to them what it means to me. And they've gone, yeah, still, no. And okay. I respect your kink. Please respect mine is how I look at it. And then we move on. Agree to disagree. But so they're going to look at the little or the furry or whoever is acting out. Okay. Like I said, I'm not picking on littles. It's just we have stuff, y'all. Anyway, we're more visible when we go into little mode. It's just more obvious. Very rarely does somebody just kneel in the middle of a restaurant. We, however, might start like running around a restaurant like we're three. It happens. My point is, while people will look at you as a submissive and go, I wish they wouldn't. Those in the lifestyle who consider the respect and knowledge and all those things important for the community, they're looking at your dominant and they're thinking, well, that's fine that dominant likes that, but that dominant has no control over that submissive.
Right.
Okay. So that's why we bring it up. Not to say people shouldn't be who they are. I think people should be who they are. And if you're the type of person who honestly does not give two shits what other people think of you, I actually admire you. I am not that person. I am conscious every moment of every day of what somebody might see about me and perceive. Okay. Sometimes that's cool. And
you know, there are some people who are out in the lifestyle.
They are out. But you know what? They're not so out that when you're in a vanilla setting, half the restaurant's staring at them either. You know, they have found the ways to express themselves openly and honestly that do not draw attention to themselves.
True.
And most of those people, not all, because I've seen it in submissives, but the most amount of people I've seen who are like that are all dominants. And quite frankly, a dominant is a dominant. A submissive is a submissive, but as a little, I'm going to need my Hello Kitty blankie. I'm going to need my Disney movie. I'm going to need my pigtails.
Right.
You just stand there in a pair of jeans. You're a dominant, right? It's a look. It's a tone in your voice. It's a stance. Yeah, it might be a crop in your hand. Yeah, it might be spanking my ass. But it's the things that make a dominant dominant tend to be much more subtle than some of what a submissive does. Because you can just stand there. I'm the one kneeling. You see what I mean? Does that make sense?
Well, and that, yes, that's true, because there's, in many cases, dominance is not loud. It's the quiet dominance.
That's the best kind of dominance, in my humble opinion. Okay, my opinion is not very humble, but you know what I mean.
Yes.
So, from your perspective, gosh, we have talked longer about this than I thought we would.
See?
How do you feel and about it, and how do you see the whole... My behavior is a reflection of you. What thoughts does it bring to mind?
Well, you're well behaved. I mean,
because I don't like punishment. That right there. The question that's, and this is wrong to automatically watch somebody else and make, you know, come up with conclusions about how their relationship must be. But we're human, and everybody does it. Even when you try really hard not to, you still do it. So, yes, I'm well behaved and I'm going on the record. I don't want to get in trouble.
Yeah.
If I see somebody who is behaving, quote, badly, and that's a subjective thing, y'all. I mean, we get that.
Right.
I'm going to go, have they never been punished? And I know that there are DS couples who go, oh, that punishment thing, that really does happen? Well, if you negotiate it, yeah, it does. You know, and that's from dominance. They go, oh, you can really do that? Well, yeah, if you really negotiate it, you really can punish your submissive.
Well, you know, let me give this as an example. The first time we ever played in public at a dungeon. Okay. It was fantastic, y'all. We had a great...
Oh, that was a good high.
it was a very intense scene. And yeah, it was great.
It was great.
And afterwards, when I took Kayla down off of the cross, this particular dungeon, they had couches in, you know, various areas. And there was one near the cross where we were playing. So when I took her off the cross, I wrapped her in her blanket and we went to the couch and I was giving her aftercare. And it was well-intentioned. This submissive came prancing up to us and was like, oh, we loved your scene. It was so great. You had such good energy. Da, 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 da. And,
I,
you know,
vaguely remember that.
Well, you were way deep in subspace. And, you know, I'm thinking to myself, this is not the time to be approaching us. You know, we just got finished with a very intense scene.
Half the room was watching.
Yes.
That's my understanding, right?
I don't know. I was focused on you at the time. But, you know, I'm giving Kayla's deep in subspace and I'm giving her aftercare. And, you know, along comes this person. You don't do that. You know, you don't do that unless you have a personal
connection. Right.
Okay. Now, there was another time we were at a different dungeon. We brought a friend with us and we played. And after we played, I was again giving Kayla aftercare. Mm-hmm. And Kayla asked for this person to join us.
That was nice. Mm-hmm. Oh, that was very nice. That person was female, and so that I had on one side, I had daddy with, you know, very masculine, dominant, my daddy, you know, possessive thing, and on this other side I had this female friend who's very soft and she's submissive as well, and so it was two different energies. Oh, that was the best way to come down. I mean, like, oh, if I could just do that every time.
But, you know, that goes back to the thing. Her running up to us right after a scene,
right.
You know, it would have been different after we had finished aftercare. We joined the general crowd.
Sure.
You know, then come up. When you're giving aftercare to somebody, you know, or if somebody is giving aftercare, especially after a scene, you do not walk up to them because that's a very personal and intimate moment.
Right. And here's the thing. You're not going to know that until somebody tells you, until somebody teaches you. In a lot of circumstances, dominants have more experience than their submissives and can and should teach them those things. And sometimes you don't even remember that you need to teach your submissive something until you're in the moment. You go, oh, shit, I forgot to tell them that.
Yeah.
And I know in a lot, in even more cases, that you either as a dominant, you have less experience as your submissive. I know that happens. And I know sometimes you're both completely new to it together. Mm-hmm. Okay. As a dominant, what I can tell you is know that if you are openly in this relationship and your local community knows that you two are together, when your submissive acts or behaves a certain way, they're going to look at you. Now, should you walk around with your head hung in shame? No, you're still learning.
Right.
And there's no shame in asking questions. There's no shame in, you know, in our local area, there are frequently, I still haven't gotten to go to one, but I know they happen, meetings where in one room, it's nothing but a group of doms talking shop. And right. in another room, it's nothing but a bunch of subs talking. And it's a good exchange of information without the pressure, mm-hmm. right? So right. maybe you don't want to ask in the middle of everybody with everybody else's submissive staring at you, you know, what's okay and what isn't. But if your community has meetings like that, you need to go to those because that's where you go to talk to other dominants about, you know, what, how can you advise me? What can I do better?
Right.
This behavior is happening and I don't know how to correct it. I don't know how to help my submissive. I don't, you know, you don't know what you don't know. And the best way to find out what the hell you don't know is to
ask
go
questions
and to go be with other people who are trying to do what you're trying to do. Okay. So now when I say, and we have said that a submissive's behavior is a reflection of the dom, and that's, and people are looking at the dom going, really? You didn't train him? You don't discipline him? I don't want you to think that people are standing back in total judgment of you and now have decided they dislike you. No. I would like to think, and I think I can say this about Master Michelle, and I think I'm pretty accurate. If she sees something like that, if she doesn't know you, because she knows every damn body,
well,
she's going to assume you're new. And she is right. probably going to try to help you in a very gracious way. She's well, not yeah. like a busybody know-it-all. So it's... The community is going to attempt to educate you, not right. because they think that you're like this crappy little dominant and what the hell are you doing, but because when you know more, your submissive behaves better, your esteem is lifted within the lifestyle, your submissive's esteem comes with you,
right?
And you are even more welcome because the point of this, because of what we do is inherently dangerous. People can get hurt. People right. die doing what we do. Okay. Mm-hmm. The more educated you become as a dominant, the safer you are, the safer your submissive is. So it is in everybody's best interest, the entire community's best interest, right. if everybody is as educated as they can be. And some people don't want to be educated, and that's fine. They're probably not listening to this show because you know what? That's what we do around here is we try to share what we know. And you aren't always going to do what every single person advises you to do. None of us are like that. But you have to take in these opinions and take in these viewpoints right. and see if they fit with your style as well. They are almost always completely well-intentioned to make you, both of you, you're both of you, dominant and submissive, better at what you do. So one, you're safer. And two, you can join the community and... Nobody's worried about how you play with your submissive. Okay, maybe you guys break up. And nobody's worried about how you play with a new submissive because they saw how you were with the old one. Mm-hmm. And no dominants are looking at your previous submissive going, oh, Lord, do I have to untrain bad habits? I mean, you know what I mean? We are all better. We are only in any group. You are only as strong as your weakest link. It is to everybody's benefit to try to educate each other, to share right. our knowledge. And that's not a stand up and tell you how you should do your DS. That's bullshit. Nobody should tell you how to do your DS. Right. But you do need to be aware of these beliefs and these right. viewpoints.
And when someone passes that on, it's not, this is how you should do it.
And if they do that no. to you, that's not cool.
What most people give you is general information, mm-hmm. okay? And you can take that information and you can mold it and shape it to what works for you.
Right.
Okay? But now, again, and I know we're talking primarily about submissives, but, you know, dominants, especially new dominants, this is something that's very important. You know, again, going back to being at a club and during a play party. If someone is in a scene... Do not approach them unless you are part of that scene.
Oh, gosh, no, don't ever. You break okay. somebody's concentration and then break somebody's
right.
I mean, ass.
That is just, that's not only rude, but, you know, somebody could get seriously hurt that way and bad form.
When in doubt, keep your distance until you can see clearly and obviously that it's time to approach, okay?
Right.
Scenes, intense conversations. You can be at the club in the social area, and if you see two people whose heads are about an inch away from one another, like, talking seriously, guess what? That's not the time to go introduce yourself. It's just not. And you know what's cool? And I know in the world of kink, I'm still relatively young. I get it, okay? I don't know a tenth of what I'm going to know in 20 years, right? And I know that. And it's really cool to see the newer people who are, and I say, and that's all relative because I'm new as well, but still, who are enthusiastic about learning and want to know more and want to just soak it all in and just tell me everything, tell me everything. When in doubt, dominant or submissive, y'all, this is a people thing. Behave in the most respectful, honest, kind way you know how to be.
Right.
And when in doubt, wait. You know, step back a moment and go, ooh, you know, pay attention to what people are doing and how they're interacting. And if you go into everything with a polite, respectful way, yes, as a dominant, that's a good trait to have. Just saying. Being the domineering asshole, only cute to your submissive who likes that. Just saying. You will get further and you will get more information and you, for those of you who it matters, because I know it doesn't matter to everybody, the respect others have for you will rise and your esteem within the community will rise, you know? And there's something to be said for that, because when you are respected within the community, it's because they know that you're safe. They know that you are a competent dominant. We all have more to learn. So I don't care if you've been doing this 20, 30 years. They know they have more to learn. Mm-hmm. Okay. There's always something new, more to learn. But when you are part of that sort of group within the lifestyle, things become a lot easier. It's a lot easier to share information. You have people coming to you looking for information. It becomes your opportunity to pass down information. If you are an esteemed dominant in the lifestyle, you know what? It's a little bit easier to find play partners. I'm just saying, because guess what? We're telling each other, stay the hell away from that one. That one's dangerous. Mm-hmm. That one doesn't play safe. That one's disrespectful.
Right.
Okay. So there's benefits to it. It's not about, you know, thinking, oh, woe is me. I hope everybody likes me. It's not about being liked. It's about being respected. And they are two different things. And submissives, if you want that for your dominant, I want people to look at John Brownstone and see him for the dominant I know him to be, which is an excellent, caring, nurturing, very competent dominant who is safe and always, hey, he brings the kink and he brings the pain, but you know what? I don't ever have to worry about my well-being with him. I want you're welcome, Daddy. I want the whole world to know that about him. Okay, maybe not the whole world, the whole kinky world, the whole kinky world. So you know what? When we're out in public, I'm going to show the world, the kinky world, let me call it the kinky world, that he has trained me right, that our relationship is strong enough and that our bond is good enough and that I follow what he tells me to do and he has an expectation and I not only meet it, hopefully surpass it. And in doing so, his esteem raises. People respect him more because they go, wow, his sub's really well behaved. Wow, she's really respectful. You know what? Between you, me, and a fence post, I would be that way anyway because I think it's just good human to human contact to be respectful and polite. However, I know what it does for other people to see me behave that way and know that I'm attached to him. He's automatically considered a better dominant, the good dominant I already know him to be. They don't have to know much more about him. They just have to know how I behave. That is important to me as his submissive. As the woman who loves him, yes. As his baby girl, yes. As his fiance, yes. But as his submissive, I want him to be looked upon with as much respect as I see him and I look upon him. And so that, for me, and it's a personal reason for everybody, it's going to be different, that is why it is so important to me. And that's when it made more sense to me. Once we got out into our local lifestyle and I saw how it's a subtle thing, sometimes not so subtle, but I saw how the respected dominants are treated versus the ones where everybody went, oh Lord, not that one. Okay. I would never want that for John Brownstone. He does not deserve that. He's a damn good dominant. So you know what? I'm going to show the kinky community that he's a damn good dominant. And the only way to do that is to be the best submissive I know how to be. And that's all I have to say about that.
Wow.
It's not quite a rant, and it's not quite a ramble, and it's not quite a lecture. I don't know how to classify this one, y'all.
I don't know how to follow that up.
You can't.
No, I know.
I have said it all.
Yeah.
I have spoken perfect words. You have nothing else you can say to that. But you'll try, and I hope you do. I feel so sorry for the person who went, you know what, this show looks kind of cool. I'll listen to episode 50 for the first time. I am so sorry, y'all. We are like this in nearly every episode we're in together.
Oh, goodness.
Sometimes worse, sometimes better.
Yeah. But no, you know, the way you act out in public, you know, you do your best.
And I'm not always perfect. And that's okay, well, too. No, submissives who are worried about being perfect, you don't have to be perfect.
But again, it's learning. Mm-hmm. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And from the first time I took you to a club, oh my gosh, you have come.
I'll actually talk to people now.
Well, I mean, but even besides that.
Well, yeah, I chomp at the bit to go get naked. Like, can we go play? Can we go play? I'll talk to people if I have to, but can we go play? Can we go play? There were people for the first several times, even at our current club, that didn't think I really spoke.
I know.
And I'm pretty sure that they thought that had something to do with our dynamic, that maybe that was a rule or... No, mm-hmm. I have social anxiety, and I just don't really like to talk to people. I don't know. Unless I'm in a position... I don't want to say authority. Like, I'm not in charge of nobody. My children don't even listen to me. But when I feel like I know what I'm talking about, I can get up in front of a crowd of 100 people. I've done it before in other realms.
Have you heard her talk on the podcast?
Stop, Daddy. I'm talking to a microphone, and that's different. That was not nice. Oh, my gosh. Anyway, but this is different. This was people I didn't really know, and I wanted to figure them out before I said anything. And so the first time I actually talked, and I think I cracked a joke. I know y'all will be shocked with this. I'm really sarcastic, and that's how my humor comes out. So I cracked a joke, and the room kind of went silent because I guess they didn't know what the sound of my voice was, and then they laughed because they realized I said something funny, and then a dominant went, I didn't think you were allowed to talk. I just didn't want to. You people are cool now. I'll talk. And now you can't get me to shut up. So, you know, be careful what the hell you wish for.
And, you know, that's the other thing, too. Some submissives, especially in high protocol, are not allowed to talk to just anybody.
True. In certain high protocol events, and then certain dungeon rules can be like that.
Yes.
Where, you know, it's different when you're a single submissive. It's always different because how the hell are you going to talk to anybody if you can't, you know, if you're single? But when you're in an attached partnership, yeah, as a submissive, there are some places, no, you do not speak. You can speak to a submissive, but you do not speak to a dominant without permission or without, you know, and they can't talk to you without talking to your dominant. And sometimes, whether it's the dungeon or it's the relationship, a submissive is not allowed to talk to even another submissive without permission from their dominant. And you won't always know if, you know, how that's going to be handled. If you just move cautiously.
Err on the side of caution.
And when in doubt, ask. I mean, that will keep you out of so much trouble, just life in general. When in doubt, ask and be respectful and polite. I think if more people went through their life just being automatically a little bit more respectful and polite, we'd probably have a better world.
Yeah.
Let alone a kinky world.
Well,
is that my new mission? True. I'm going to try and get people to be more respectful and polite.
Yeah. I mean, you know.
It's tiring. I don't want to do that.
On that note, that's a funny thing, too, because, you know, I got Kayla, when we go out somewhere, she does not get out of the car until I come around the car, open the door, and help her out of the car.
Which is really cool, except when you're in the car with your mother, who looks at you and says, I am not opening that door for you. You better get yourself out of the car. Oops, he trained me too well.
Mm-hmm. But you would be surprised at the looks I get.
Oh, yeah. The older women, like, they could be my grandma. They're like, wow, people still do that?
Right.
And then he's taught the... through osmosis, I think. He's taught the boys to do it.
Yes.
Man, people love to see those boys open my door.
Yep.
I mean, there's a part of me, like my feminist side, that's like, oh no, I'm teaching them that you only open doors for women. And, you know, I have to deal with that. But as your submissive, I'm like, yes, please. And I get mad at him. Are you not going to open my door, Daddy? You always open my door. Kayla, it's pouring out here, and we don't even have an umbrella. I'm going to need you to open your own door. Yes, Daddy. Anyway, you know what? We took what I thought would be a 30-minute show and turned it into an hour show.
Yep.
We did that.
Yes, we did.
I think it's like a magical, like we do magic, a superpower. It's a superpower.
Patronus.
No. I can take, we should not show all our geek at one time. We might like make the internet implode.
Oh dear.
At least iTunes. Somebody's phone's going to start smoking if all of our geek. He said the Patronus thing from Harry Potter as he takes a sip from his Doctor Who coffee mug. My youngest has an R2-D2 water bottle he takes to school every day, along with his Avengers lunchbox. So, yeah, we geek out around him.
Yeah.
If your phone is smoking, it's because I blew it up with all the geeky stuff right then and there. Don't even get a start on Sherlock and Merlin and what are some of the other geek? Anyway, we're so off topic now.
We're way off
because
topic.
I could just talk to y'all forever. Y'all don't want me to, but could.
I think it's time to say goodnight.
Damn it. Okay, so let me just remind everybody. It's happening more and more, so I feel like I should say it more and more. We are both on FetLife. If that's where you do your kink thing and everything else is vanilla for you, I totally get that. We are on FetLife. He is
Southern Sir.
I am everywhere. I'm Kayla Lords. I give the disclaimer because there's some really cool dominance out there, and I wouldn't want anybody to be confused. So if you are submissive, male or female, doesn't matter. You put a friend request in. You can message me beforehand or not. It's cool. If you're submissive, I will likely, as soon as I see it, I will accept it. If you are a dominant, if you are not already friends with John Brownstone, I'm going to ask him if I can become your friend. Right. So if you want to be friends with both of us, that's cool. Be friends with him first, and then it's an automatic pass. If you approach me first, I'm doing nothing until my daddy says I can. That's how we do it. Okay? Because unfortunately, FetLife is filled with bad, bad stuff.
We've met some absolutely wonderful people through FetLife.
Yes, and we've met some absolutely awful people through FetLife. So it's just how we roll. But you can if you want, or Twitter, or the website, or email, whatever. If you have a question, if you want us to talk about something on the podcast, if you completely vehemently disagree with us on everything, be respectful, and I don't care what your opinion is. Be an asshole. I'm going to laugh at you. So there you go. That's it. Right?
That's it.
You can get to us if you want to get to us, and if you don't, that's cool. We really don't mind.
But we still appreciate you listening.
We love it that you listen, and it looks like more and more people are starting to listen. In case y'all were curious, Inside Baseball, after just over a week, like 8 days, it's usually about 1,100 people who listen to the show.
Wow.
I know. And so far, knock on wood, no hate. Nobody's gone, God, you suck. I hope nobody ever does that. If you think I suck, just stop listening. Please don't tell me. Because in the very next show will be me blubbering about something that I
and
sucked.
Nobody wants that.
Nobody wants that. Anyway, okay, I'm done talking. If you haven't already turned this show off, thank you. Next week, the giveaway starts. We'll have more details. We'll have the link for all that next week. We'll tell you all about it.
Fun stuff.
When I say next week, I mean on or around August 27th, 28th of 2016. If you are listening to this sometime in the future, you need to wait till the next anniversary show. That's all I'm saying. Okay.
All right.
Are we good? Are we done?
I think we're good.
Keep it kinky, y'all. We'll see you next week.